Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 149. We're only 1 week away from the big anniversary. And I'm not going to be here.
You're not?
What? Did you talk about my email? No.
No, you're not going to be here. You're not joining us for show 150.
I'm missing it for the Mrs. Dad's 50th, which I don't think is as big a milestone. But unfortunately, she...
How old's your missus? About 12?
No, she's 27.
My old man 60 next year, and I'm the same age.
If Chris has a baby next year, it'll be similar age ratios. So
yeah, right,
that's true.
All right.
We'll get that.
So how many of the 149 do you reckon you've done?
I'd give a conservative estimate of about just over half.
I feel sorry for our listeners.
Yeah.
True. Well, I've done about 100 of them, I think.
You've done more than.
I think I've done about the same as you, because I started earlier and then disappeared for 9 months. And people still tune in. So, straight, we've actually got a guest with us, and he's a bona fide proper football journalist.
It's a respectable guest.
Yeah.
Do you know how much it's costing us for him to be on this show, by the way?
Our budget for the year.
Well, I can see one bottle of beer.
You know, I'm going to say, now that's a joke. He's made me buy the drinks as well.
It's a cheeky sauce. This is Tom. So, anyone listening out there, you work for the People, is it?
I do. Sunday
yeah,
People, yeah.
Fantastic newspaper. My mum and dad buy it. I'll tell them to keep an eye out for the other two or three who do as well. So, fingers crossed. We've also got. I like the people. I've grown up with the people.
I like the people.
Exactly. So, we all like the people. That's good. But we've also got Andy, Dan, Chris, and of course myself, Mike Kay. We recorded a bit early this week because of various circumstances. So, rather than looking.
Because it's my birthday tomorrow.
Right, it's your birthday. It's also I'm in Glasgow on Thursday.
That's got nothing to do with it. The reason we're not doing it tomorrow is because it's my birthday and I plan on going to the pub and getting shit faced at lunch.
Dan's turning 30 tomorrow.
Yeah, lies.
The big 3-0.
Lies. I'm 28. Soon
he'll have a daughter of 27.
Yeah. Life's been a bit tough, hasn't it?
Alright.
Said the pot to the kettle. Yeah. That could be coming from any of us. I mean, Chris is 22 and he looks like he's
22 going on retiring.
Yeah. Going on lumberjacks.
Yeah. You need a pipe.
But yeah, so rather than looking back at what will either be a great or disappointing night for England, we can preview it and look back at what was a fantastic night on Friday.
That's very true.
Absolutely. So, Hodgson's best performance?
Hodgson's? Well, yeah. It was a gamble that paid off, wasn't it?
Well, it was good to see him, put a starting 11 out that was positive.
Well, it was...
Fair to say
the biggest gamble he's taken so far? Or the most aggressive formation?
Probably.
But definitely, I would say. Apart from maybe against San Marino in terms of aggressive formations, but that's a bit different. But
he took a gamble on Townsend and the boy did good.
Well, it was
a bit of a shock to see him turn up.
I did think he started slowly. After half an hour, I think, this can be one of those nights where we draw 0-0. But second half, fantastic.
I missed the first half.
You didn't miss much?
No, which is what...
You missed a Rooney chance.
Yeah.
That was it.
And then got into the pub literally as the second half was kicking off to see the 80-yard run that came with the first goal. But
I can't believe how toothless Montenegro were. I mean, they're not.
You say that, but we still courted problems.
They
hit the crossbar just before they scored. I mean,
it was a cracking strike. It was a 25-yarder rather than them actually putting us under any pressure.
We still try our best to make it as difficult as possible.
Of course, we did. We're England. We do that in everything.
I think four. I actually think 4-1 flatters the performance personally.
I think on the balance of play, we deserve.
We deserve to win, but 4-1 suggests that we completely dominated, and I don't think that's the case. And actually, at one stage,
I think we did dominate.
We looked like we were willing to actually throw away 2 points.
Well, I was very nervous when it went to 2-1.
Then cometh the hour.
Yeah.
But it went to 2-1, and just beforehand, they rattled the crossbar. So, we could quite easily have been playing against 11 men behind the ball.
Ifs and buts are always the way, but
it's also very true. I'm totally taking credit for this.
This is information being fed by our real journalist.
Tommy, you can speak up at any time.
Well, the fact they were missing Vucinic and four other
six first teams.
Jovetic has been injured as well, hasn't he?
The first two goalkeepers out as well, and the third choice goalkeeper's just been suspended for something like 2 years.
Yeah.
for match fixing.
But he was the one who got done for match fixing for Debrecen, didn't he?
In against Liverpool,
right,
yeah.
Against Liverpool, yeah. And they were, they, you know, Jovetic has been out sideline, hasn't he, for
however long, coming back to form.
So, yeah. If you took six players out of the England starting lineup, how toothless would we look?
Well, it depends on the six players, actually. To be fair to Roy Hodgson, he's basically had his first choice 11, barring Walcott and Glenn Johnson. Well, sorry, and Ashley Cole, I suppose.
But so he's so
yeah, actually, you're three.
More
than anything, he's had his pick of attacking players for the first time in a long time. Maybe Andy Carroll would be in there. Maybe Darren Bedden form. But,
oh
yeah.
God, I hope not.
I think what was exciting, I don't know, like you mentioned the strikers. If you look at the four who were up top, apart from Rooney, the three youngsters, you know, we talk about there's so many problems with the English game, aren't there? Where's the next generation coming from, all this talent? And yet those three can still be playing in at least in one more World Cup after Brazil.
Yeah.
Perhaps they might even make it to Qatar. Yeah.
Throw Chamberlain into the mix as well and Walcott, like we said, he's probably who's the more senior out of all of us.
And of course, proud Englishman Adnan Januzaj
we're not going to talk about that again.
But just on the Townsend note, you know, obviously being trying to take my Spurs cap off, but
well, you never really
is,
do.
No, I try, but it is. I know he can be very frustrating at times. You know, he doesn't make the right decisions here and there. But when he gets the ball, it is just he just runs at the left back, or he literally doesn't even. It's not like sort of the Lennon and the Walcott where he'll try and run to space. He will just run at it.
Well, that's what I like.
And
he looks different. It's exciting.
Yeah,
we don't have that sort of player.
Like, he literally goes, the first thing on his mind is to take the player on. And my old man has been saying for years about Aaron Lennon. I've been trying to give Aaron Lennon the benefit of the doubt for so long. But what Lennon likes to do, he likes to give the little give and go, running behind, spinning behind and do his pace like that. He doesn't actually run at players that often and just try and beat them.
He's still an extremely effective player for club and country.
Yeah. Who? Lennon?
Yeah.
Well, that's debatable in a way.
But the thing you say with Townsend, obviously, running at players with ball, he reminds me, obviously, nowhere near the quality level yet, but
Gibbs.
He reminds me, no, I was going to say Cristiano Ronaldo, in fact he's a big physical unit, he's not going to get shook off the ball.
He's not that big, Townsend.
He's strong though, he's built, he doesn't look like Theo Walcott, he looked like he was going to get blown over
it.
It's actually so nice to see, and like I said, he can be frustrating, he's only young, he can only hopefully improve. But to actually, for his first thought to be, I'm just going to run at this player and take him on.
On your debut.
On your debut, yeah. and then you have the audacity to hit it from 25 yards on your wrong foot.
Yeah, and it was a good goal, really. Good.
Yeah.
It reminds you that if you commit players, more often than not, you know, you create chances, and that's exactly what he did.
No, he did. It was picking the ball up inside your own half, running 80 yards down the line, and then finding, the cross. Bit fortunate to fall to Welbeck originally, but it was his impetus that started it, and I really hope he starts tonight. I really hope they go for it again.
Fitness isn't there?
Yeah, they might play Milner
or Raheem Sterling as well has been mentioned, which would be even more of a gamble given that he's only just been called up to cover Tom Cleverley.
Well, the Poles have got slightly more going forward on the left, haven't they?
Yeah.
So it's their captain on the left.
Well, Blachikowski is
it? Blachikowski.
Drafts out to the left. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I guess.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just listening. Yeah. Blachikowski.
Yeah.
For good effort.
Would you call him Tchaikovsky?
Blachikowski.
I was making stuff up, aren't
you? Polish names as well.
Tommy, you realise that this is not just an amateur podcast, it's an unbelievably amateur podcast. We don't really do like the right names.
We don't check pronunciation.
Our token hashtag on Twitter is Learn to Describe.
Which was directed at me mainly, originally, because I just kept describing
stuff wrong. And we've had variations, Learn to Speak Better, Learn to Watch Football Better, we've had all sorts of facts right, as well.
We're really good at getting facts wrong. Really good.
Speaking of people getting things wrong on the post, have you seen Adrian Childs has had to issue a grovelling apology?
That's a shame, isn't it?
After suggesting that he. What was it? That he hoped the post got a result against Ukraine, so the builders doing work on his house weren't too disappointed.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that was really, really bad. And did you see the embarrassed looks around the studio?
He's come out and apologised. He said, because obviously he's from Eastern Europe himself, he's got Croatian background.
Yeah, was it bad if he's actually got Polish people?
Well, that's what he says.
He was like, I genuinely meant the nice Polish lads that are doing the building work in my house at the moment, I hope, yeah. Like, you know, it
yeah,
was,
but he's
was
a small talking, bastard, isn't he?
I know, so, I know, but he was actually talking about. Isn't like if he says something like, oh God, no one's building work will get done tomorrow yeah. if they pose lose.
What he didn't,
that's, I mean, that's bad.
What like, he didn't mention was the Vietnamese lads in his basement making football. They haven't played that before.
But yeah, I mean, I can't, it's one of those again, though, isn't it? It's where you can't say a fucking thing.
Yeah, but Agent Charles shouldn't be allowed to say anything in public, anyways.
Why is he writing his own jokes?
Let him do that. Yeah. He should have had more sense, but obviously tonight, big game thoughts.
Well,
are we confident?
Well, apparently we should be playing Gerard at right back, according to Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah, what's that about?
I'm not really sure what you're talking about there, Ted.
I'll tell you what, Stephen Gerrard did make his debut, I think, at right back for England and played very well.
He didn't debut for England. He started his career at Liverpool at right back.
Well, he played a few times, so I remember my coach when I was about 15, 16 always used to say to me.
You didn't have a coach when you were 15, 16.
I did.
16.
John Bryan.
Netball coach. Was it your netball coach?
Well, you know, he said that goal attack is a lot like playing a fullback.
Similar, very similar.
Which it isn't at all. I don't know netball very well. But he used to say the best fullback performance he'd ever seen was Stephen Gerrard for Liverpool. I think it's Sheffield Wednesday.
I don't think this should be the right time to try Gerrard.
Yeah, I don't think.
Hang on, no, let's not forget that Gerrard's probably most defining performance in his whole career. He finished it at right back in the European Cup final when they beat Milan.
It was more out of necessity than it was out of.
But he still was the best. He was the best player on the pitch in any position.
If he goes to extra time tonight, and holding out the penalties, we'll stick him at right back.
He played at right back and he was still everywhere.
And speaking of players, it's
terrible positional play.
Yeah,
terrible.
I tell you what, because
Traore was playing at left back, so he had to fill in there as well.
Well, and Liverpool had a polling goal, obviously, in terms of Jerzy Dudek. Now,
yeah, they did.
I'm concerned tonight about Artur Boruts.
Why?
Is that the correct pronunciation? I think that's closer.
Artur.
Yeah.
Boruts.
The holy goalie from Southampton. I've got a feeling he's the sort of keeper who can either throw five into the net. Do not concentrate. But I feel he's one of those that could pull off a world class performance tonight as well. And
but he's said about anyone. I mean, but Lewandowski could score a hat trick.
But he's one of those up and down personalities who's either shocking or fantastic, and there's not much in between.
He's going to play in goal for Poland, and we're
that's a given.
We'll knock a few past him. He might pull off a few.
I'm always worried as well because Poland.
Don't be
worried, Lewandowski. He's a world class striker. And if you've got any world-class player in your team, they've got the ability to just change a game like that. He could get two opportunities.
They have got nothing to play for, but I don't know.
18,000 Poles in Wembley to play for.
Yeah, and all those builders.
And all that
builders. Adrian Chet on his massive
on the attendance at Wembley tonight, we were just talking about this one before the show started. So in terms of an atmosphere on Friday, you felt it was actually quite strong from the start?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good because usually at Wembley you get this sense of negativity creeps in after 20 minutes if it's still goalless. And yeah, on Friday, the longer it went on, the more confident everyone seemed to get.
Really, that's good.
So it was exactly what the players needed as well.
So, and it might also be quite interesting, you know, the Poles are going to make a fair bit of noise tonight, aren't they? So that gives us something to sing back against. So maybe a bit of atmosphere in the stadium as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when your players are, do you know where the noise is coming from, or do you just hear the noise and that raises you again?
True.
You're playing, so you're not listening exactly where the atmosphere is coming from. So maybe with a bit of emphasis. I'm actually going to go, but just before I go, I'm going to make the very quick point about Kyle Walker. If he plays at right back rather than Stephen Gerrard, then him and Townsend have got that link.
Unfortunately, you should know better than this.
Is he out?
He's suspended
with a yellow card.
I'm so pleased I put that in before I left.
See, knowledge is key. Knowledge is key.
Learn to describe better.
Get your facts right. With that bombshell, I'm going to go and talk to my gaffer and tell him that I'm on it.
tell him that you've found four replacements.
Good man.
Take it easy.
See, so actually on the conversation, it's teed up quite nicely.
It's a good point.
Big interesting to see.
I can't actually
Phil
tell
Jones
you.
Or Chris Moore.
No, I can't actually just tell you how my mate, the professional sports journo and football writer
for a national
newspaper. We just got owned on the podcast. Oh, yes. I can't tell. I'm going to wind him up about that so much from now on.
Speaking of Arthur Burrup, has anyone seen his tattoo?
No.
Oh, yes. He's got it.
On his belly button.
It's a monkey bent over backwards. So his belly button looks like the monkey's.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Is it like a baboon's arsehole?
No, I think it was just...
What's the difference between a monkey's arsehole and a baboon's?
Have you ever seen a baboon's backside? They've got those huge sort of...
Not that up close and personal growth.
Yeah, they are big red arses.
You've been to the zoo.
I'm not saying I've been up close and sniffing one, but I mean, it looks pretty rank.
Yeah,
but anyway, don't smell any better.
Apparently it's caused some offence. I didn't really read
the article. Yeah, the Rangers
mainly looked at the picture.
I think he used to direct it at the Rangers fans.
Yeah, it was Celtic.
As if to say something was Celtic. Because he's a devout Catholic as well, as a lot of Poland are. And that always helped in the old firm games. But going back to the right back position,
Jones or Smalling,
I'd be inclined to go for Phil Jones.
Jones, I think it's going to be Jones. Really? He's got more experience
But he's worse on the ball.
But he's got more experience.
I think Smalling's got more potential to make a massive cock up.
I don't know about that.
I think Jones is a safer pair of eyes.
He's a big lad.
Smalling's better on the ball.
And he makes some great faces.
I was just about to say, we could get a good gurn off, couldn't we?
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see.
So are we thinking the exact same lineup apart from...
No, I think you'd take Lampard
out. I'd take Lampard out and put either Wiltshire or Carrick.
I'd put Carrick in. I think Carrick was actually a bit of a game changer when he came in.
I don't think he was a game changer, but he settled things down a lot.
Well, that changed the game for me.
Which is why...
He came on and sorted the game out for us.
We were having a conversation in the pub on... Well, no, he settled things down. He didn't change it massively to the point that I was saying. But we were having the conversation in the pub on Friday.
We were.
Over at, where you were having a beer, I was having a nice Buffalo Trace whiskey. Bourbon's a biscuit.
It's a nice biscuit.
Yeah. It is. It's not a nice biscuit. Nice biscuits are those little square ones.
They are.
And custard creams are better. But... going back to football, again, Bronson last week, we talked about whether or not you take Lampard to the World Cup. I personally wouldn't because I think we'd better take young players. I'd rather have an experienced-headed Michael Carrick coming on because I think he settles games a lot better. If you're going to have one of them on the bench, I'd rather have Carrick.
Because Lampard's not exactly lighting the Premier League up at the moment either.
No, he's not, but I think you need both. I think you need someone who'll come on and settle things, but you also need someone who's going to come on and... create one stroke of genius to win the game when
I'd want either Gerrard or Lampard in my team
starting 11.
I would want either,
but you'd have both. So would I, but you're not going to drop Gerrard.
No, but if he gets injured, this is what I mean,
and that's what I said on Friday. I said you need them both in
this World Cup's all about flooding younger players.
Why is it?
No, it's not.
Mike, we say that every fucking World Cup.
No, we don't. Between 2002 and 2010, every World Cup was England might have a chance here, and it was. You look at the papers. Every paper said
They're going to tell us this year. As soon as we qualify, which we will do tonight. Good boys. We will do it again
this
tonight.
This time, I don't think there's any real belief. Just like at the last Euros, there was no real belief
that
we were going to go out.
But that's how
we
blooded a team and got them starting to play under Roy Hodgson.
And that's what I think we need to keep doing.
No, but we've got to go and have a fucking go at it.
And we've got good enough players to go there, get some more experience, sample a big tournament, and change it. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain can come into the midfield.
He'll always be used wide anyway.
Against Brazil, he came on.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, I really like him. I agree, but they're saying he might not be on the plane.
We still lack wingers.
But they're saying he might not be. If Townsend keeps it up,
Oxlade-Chamberlain, you can take him to play on the wing or in the centre midfield. Frank Lampard, you take him on for one purpose. And that's
to score goals.
For 20 minutes. When has he ever come off the bench and scored goals?
Because normally starting.
No, he was back in the day.
Yeah.
Since the last couple of seasons.
He's in the twilight of his career now.
Yeah, but he hasn't come on and made a massive difference in games that I've noticed.
Because he very rarely comes on from
the
bench.
He more often than not starts.
I love how angry the podcast
is.
Are they all right?
He's a great player. I just wouldn't take him because I think we've got other options that it's more important.
Other options which aren't as good.
Well, I think can be as good. I would rather. I'm only giving my opinion.
Yeah, but you've got to appreciate the fact you're wrong.
An opinion can never be wrong.
No, it can.
It can't.
Should we never be completely wrong?
It can be stupid, which most of my opinions are. But we'll go back to tonight's game because we've got to fucking qualify first.
Yeah, yeah, I know, we do.
Probably
yeah,
Frank Lampard's going to be on Barbados.
Who is, you know, that the potluck of the qualifiers? Or the playoffs,
you could get Portugal, you could get France.
Who could we get? Because it's seeded.
Right,
so
you could get France.
I don't have an exact list. Could get Iceland. Or we could get France.
Iceland, who have never been to a World Cup.
Iceland, never been to a major tournament, but it'd be the biggest game they've ever played.
Denmark could be in the as well,
Denmark, potentially, although I think they'd be seeded as well. Looking at the second place teams at the moment.
Belgium would qualify,
Bulgaria would probably miss
Sweden.
Out. The top seeds would probably be Croatia, Sweden, Portugal, and either us or Greece, depending on who gets that. I think, in fact, Sweden might not be. I might be wrong there. But you could end up getting...
No one
like,
fancies playing Zata.
You could get Sweden, no. You could get Turkey, you could get France,
yeah.
Turkey, you could get Iceland.
France are the ones you really
France
don't want.
France are the ones you don't want. Iceland are the ones you do want. There's other teams you could get that. Hungary, who lost 8-1 to Holland on Friday, could still finish
but
second.
They've not had a bad qualifying campaign, actually. I mean, that 8-1 aside, they've actually
been
quite
good. They've had a qualifying campaign, but they're now behind Turkey and Romania. You could get Romania, who are... getting back to the level they were in the 90s when they had the likes of Hadji and Pesco.
I was going to say, we wouldn't want to face Hadji, would we?
Well, I still wouldn't want to even in his 50s now. But
he's still capable of a stroker genius.
Is there still that team that have got his face on the shirts?
I don't know if they still wear that kit.
So they're
like the Hadji All-Stars.
Yeah, literally. Like, there was a team in Romania that basically were like Team Hadji. And they literally, their home kit was a kit with a massive picture of his face on it. It was awesome.
Just say that well done to Wales. Chris Coleman's sacking has been prolonged.
Yeah.
They got a 1-0 home win against Macedonia.
Yeah, as has Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland manager, even though they lost 2-0 away to Azerbaijan after losing 3-2 to Luxembourg. How he is still in the job, I'm not sure. He's won one game, albeit against Russia.
They beat Russia, didn't they? Yeah, but.
The status of the Republic of Ireland manager's job. So you've got at the moment you've got caretaker manager.
I've not had a call back yet.
It's Noel King.
Yeah, you've got to be joking.
I can't believe you did that.
I don't get it.
Anyway,
Noel King.
No, you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, isn't his name Joe?
No.
Joe.
Anyway.
Joe. No, I know. I know.
Anyway,
move on.
I know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
No one heard it anyway.
I make more shit puns than anyone, so it's fine.
You're just a real shame we don't edit this at all. Yeah. We can't even cut that bit out.
One take.
Sorry, mate.
I might edit this show and cut out all Andy's arguments and just insert bits in like, that's my painting cut. We've got to have one every week. I've got half a pint. He's got an empty glass. He's trying to take mine. What's that about? Never touch a Northerner's pint. You should know better than
There's
that.
There's a few things you don't want to touch that are owned by Northerners, but anyway.
Right. Whoa! That's not what you said last night. But it will be a very interesting night in qualifying.
Oh, God.
Quick look around the world as well, because I like to look around the world. Looks like Chile and Ecuador are going to join Argentina and Colombia in qualifying for the World Cup, because they play each other and they both only need a draw to qualify and to keep Uruguay in the playoff. So,
does that happen?
Not formally, but I doubt the team's going to go mad.
It
did happen at the World Cup. Do you remember when Germany beat Austria in the early 80s 1-0?
No.
It knocked Kuwait
I wasn't
out.
Born.
But they famously let Germany score after 30 minutes, and then 98% of the possession was in the centre of the park, and they were just knocking the ball around.
It must have something to do with it. It must have some sort of pre-match arrangement.
But that's terrible, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Obviously, because like, if you're then told by a manager, because like, being a football player, I moonlight as a football player. You get on the pitch and you just think,
they want to play football.
Yeah.
Well, I play football with you on Tuesday lunchtime when it's kickabout, and I can see that
I'm an aggressive bastard. Yeah. So, but the thing is, like, imagine getting told like strict instructions from your manager: we're going out there to play football, don't win. It's almost like everything that's your natural instinct as a football player to not attack. And
you would think at least one of the 11 would try and rebel against that and give up even more.
That
is not to say that these teams will. It might be Chile go out and win 4-0 and Uruguay manage to get through.
Yeah,
it's
a bit shit if we think that would actually happen.
I don't think a playoff would be a major problem for Uruguay, because no disrespect, I know we have one Jordanian listener, but Uruguay are a bit better than Jordan.
Harden, you would expect them to win a playoff.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And that's what I'd expect. I'd love to see Jordan knock out one of the teams.
Oh, I'd love to see Jordan rock him out as well.
Tits. Sure, she's not.
Neither of you two got that, did you?
Until I said tits,
you know what I was
on. Basketball reference?
No.
Not sure. North America, Mexico look like they're going to sneak through into the playoff. They beat Panama, which is unfortunate, but Honduras is going to take the automatic place. Mexico will go on to play New Zealand.
Is it Palacios who plays for Honduras?
Yeah. Well, there's three Palacios. Yeah. Because Wilson, he's got two brothers.
That's the computer side. Palacios,
there's also the fantastically named Carlo Costley, which is a great name.
Carlo Costley.
And I'm going to tell you about a great name again in a minute, one that we've spoken about before. But also in Africa, there...
Speaking of great names, it's not even remotely relevant, but there's a guy who works for one of the agencies we work with called William Williams.
Fantastic.
Bastards. Imagine your parents doing that. Yeah. Why would you call someone William Williams?
I always like to think that the New Zealand rugby player, Sonny Bill Williams, must be Sonny William Williams. But I guess he's not. I guess it's just Sonny Bill.
I was going to call my son Frankie Franks.
Were you actually?
No.
But he is going to call his autobiography that if he doesn't call it Speaking Frankly. Yeah. All Franks, but no Franks.
Nice.
Anyway, you're ghostwriting it, aren't you?
I am, yeah, and I'm going to be horrible. There's going to be a chapter on Frank Lampard. But in Africa, Ivory Coast beats Senegal. And speaking of Senegal, thoughts go to the family of, let me get his name, but you'll know his relevance, Bruno Metsu, otherwise known as the White Sorcerer, who was the manager...
What a great nickname.
He was the manager of the Senegal side that got to the quarterfinals of the 2002 World Cup, beating France and Sweden on the way. He's died age 49 after battling stomach cancer for years. 59. Learned to read better.
Why was he called the White Sorcerer?
Oh, well, because he was white and he was managing Senegal. Okay, and I think because he masterminded... Senegal never been to the World Cup, tiny nation... beat France, where the likes of Patrick Vieira, who was born in Senegal, went on to play France.
Yeah, of course.
2002,
it was basically, all the best Senegalese players down there. They went to the quarter finals.
They won the African Cup of Nations. Yeah.
It's the joint furthest that any African nation has gone, along with, I think, Cameroon in 1990 and Ghana at the last World Cup.
Of course,
who should have really gone to the semi-finals, were it not for Luis Suarez.
Dirty bastard.
But Ivory Coast beat Senegal this time, so it doesn't look like they're going to get through. Nigeria beat Ethiopia.
Is Drogba still playing for Ivory Coast?
He is, and he scored the first goal.
Yeah.
Cameroon drew 0-0 with Tunisia, so we'll to play for that. And fantastically, Burkina Faso, who've never been to a World
Cup,
beat Algeria 3-2 in the first leg. So the next leg of those are played next month. Fingers crossed for Burkina Faso. Ghana and Egypt to play tonight, which is probably the most competitive of those games.
Yeah, they've got to be two of the best.
Two of the best sides. Yeah. Egypt's won the African Nations.
Mido's still playing.
I think he's the fitness coach now.
Oh, fucking hell.
I'm not sure. But yeah,
just speaking of random players, again, I don't think it was last weekend, but the weekend before, flicked over to Soccer AM, and it was Skill School. The flair highlights. What's it called? Yeah, when they do all the bits of trickery.
Showboating.
Yeah. Sorry,
all aboard the showboat.
All aboard the showboat. Yeah. How the fuck did I forget that? And one of the showboats
just forgot.
Was Bilal Moshley doing an overhead kick for Rangers.
Uncle Bilal.
Happy about that. I can't believe I sat there in my pants watching Soccer AM and seeing Bilal Moshley get on showboat with an overhead kick. What a lad.
Actually, staying on international for one last bit.
Come on, Mikey.
I've got a bit of sort of hard international news. I don't know if you've got it.
Whoa. You are seriously treading on some toes here.
Have you got it, though? Have you got the heart news? Because you can tell it if you've got it.
Is it anything to do with Michael Misford scoring in the 4-1 win?
There we go.
Or loss?
See?
What are you doing, Michael? What are you doing?
Have you got also the Australia national team news?
No, look, I'm going to do my Melbourne Heart update in a bit.
But this is international, that's why I want
to
keep
it. Well, then, why do you have to mention Melbourne Heart?
Can I just tell you?
Yes, you did.
Maybe I did.
Dan's making some quite strange hand gestures.
Why are we so angry?
I don't know. I'm really looking forward to my Melbourne Heart update, because it's the first game and it's really exciting and I've got a whole plan and everything.
We'll go on to
come back to that, won't we?
And we'll go back now to ridiculous names, because you know we've had an email from...
Oh, it's only Mr. Meatball, isn't it?
Thanks, Andy, for that. Yeah, see,
I love this.
I feel your pain.
You just tried to steal his.
I didn't. I tried to tee him up.
No, you didn't. You tried to steal it.
What was the Australian news, by the way? Did you even give him the Australian news?
Australian news? Do you not have the Australian news?
No.
That they've sacked their coach after back-to-back 6-0 defeats.
Oh, yeah, that was just before the start of the weekend's fixtures, which overshadowed everything.
And who has Mark Bosnich suggested they should go for?
That I haven't heard. Go.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Fuck off.
Well, he says they should throw money at him.
He's looking for a job, isn't he?
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
But that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be mega bands.
As well. He managed Scotland in 86.
Yeah, he did.
After Jock Stevens. Wow. But yeah, Malcolm Meatball, who we mentioned last week, has emailed. It's not his real name.
Although, you're joking.
I feel let down. Yeah. I feel very let down.
His real name is Dan Hales, but he does have a cousin with the fantastic name Rosie Beaver.
No. Oh,
that's great.
No way.
Mrs. Beaver.
Oh, someone find her on Facebook.
Yeah. Rosie Beaver. Apparently, is he English?
He is English. He's living in China. He's living in Shanghai. He drinks at the Shanghai Brewery, drinking Riverfront Vice Beer. Very nice.
Please tell me Rosie Beaver is based in the UK. And is she single? I'd love to take her on a date.
Check Facebook later. But there's a reason for his name. It's a nickname that comes from his childhood, because apparently, and these are his words, he has a big head. And there was a Campbell's meatball lad in the early 90s where a kid's mate had a meatball for a head.
I remember that. They're talking meatball head. Yeah.
And that's where the nickname came from. He's asked us to give a shout out to...
Where did Malcolm come from?
Not a clue. I'm guessing...
Wasn't Malcolm the one who was having a drink with Carlton Palmer?
He was, yeah. And I'm guessing it's alliteration, the name. Malcolm. I'm actually watching the football with a chap called Malcolm later, but I'm guessing that's where...
What's his last name?
It's a funny name. Yeah. Sims. It's quite work to say. But he lives just outside of Wymers Wood Road, which is the home of Burnham FC. You can watch games through his bedroom window. But he's asked us to give a shout out. This is Malcolm Meatball, not my mate Malcolm. To Mike Bell and his supporters group, the Fooligans. I trust that's the correct pronunciation. Who follow Guangzhou Fuli FC, the current home of Sven-Göran Eriksson, but not Todd Grip, which I looked up, which is interesting, because he follows Sven everywhere. And Ayak Benny, the Yak Yakubu. So he finished seventh last year with the Chinese League. Probably there's about 40 or 50 of them. They chant in both Mandarin and English. And to the tune of That's Amore, he's given me a few lines of the Yakubu chant, which is when the ball hits the goal.
No, come on, do it in the tune of the action.
Got a sore throat. It's not Ronaldo, it's Yakubu.
When the ball hits the goal, it's not Ronaldo, it's Yakubu. Oh, Yakubu. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
My favourite was when the ball hits a cow that is grazing in Laos, it's Yakubu. But they clearly
love it.
He claims he's going to beat me in the Pubcast Fantasy Football, that's Pubcast Liga. Still on there, get involved.
How are you doing in that?
Well, I'm doing
best. I'm not even on it.
I think I'm fit. Join up.
I should.
Your points are still transfer out from previous weeks if you're on the Premier League one. So if you do want to join that side, I'm fifth at the moment, I believe. But Mr. Meatball says he's going to challenge me.
Can we talk? Bring it up. Can we move on to some domestic football? And there's some sad news.
No, I can. Can I go? Oh, go on. Go sad news first.
Sad news. Martin Allen.
I know. He's dead.
He's still dead.
No, he's not dead.
But his career is killing him.
He's not dead. Sorry,
Martin. And any of his family who lives in the
Mr. Allen's family.
So he's definitely alive.
In recent weeks, we've killed off the bloke who was crossed by football scores, so he isn't dead, by the way. We've killed off
Mad Dog Martin Allen.
Anyone else?
Mad Dog. Maybe he could.
I think I'm killing Frank Lampard.
Whoa, you two, stop it. Yeah. Stop shouting over each other.
I think Mad Dog could tout his CV over in Australia.
It is ridiculous, though.
It's a bit out of order.
Well, how a manager from League Two has taken him to winning the League Two at a bit of a canter
after
in the end.
After a mid-table finish the season before.
Yes, they didn't have a great start, but they won two on the back. They're not even in the relegation zone.
No, they're 16.
In League One.
Two wins off the bounce before they lost at the weekend.
Right. They're basically saying, I mean, I think, honestly, that's bollocks. They're basically going, look, you've got us this far. We've got no faith in you whatsoever that you can actually do a League One. So you're basically going, you're a League Two manager, and that is the best you're going to be.
Do you know who I blame?
Who?
I actually blame the Pubcast's very own James Staples, because the first two wins of the season, which Gillingham had, he didn't go to. He'd been to every single game beforehand. And then he missed those two games, and then he turned up at the weekend, didn't he? And they lost again. So, Mad Dog, if you want to deflect any blame, James Staples.
I think it is a bit of a fucking joke that they take...
It's well out of order. I really do think that it's a bit... a bit too soon to be axing him, and they've not even appointed anyone yet.
Well,
Peter Taylor.
Peter is interim manager, which is all the rage, and that's got to be something to fill the.
I've got some
Gillingham fans with dread.
Yeah, we go.
But just before you go on, there's two other managerial casualties this week.
Two more people have died.
Kevin Blackwell at Bury.
Oh, it's terrible.
And David Weir at Sheffield United, which is a bit more understandable given that they
bottom of the league, aren't they?
Yeah. No, they didn't win last week. No, they lost Coventry, but they have never won win, but he's still got it.
Coventry keep on marching up the league.
If they didn't have their deduction, they would be...
Top six.
Dan only knows stuff about the Premiership silver, has got some non-league news, FA Cup news.
What's going on in the FA Cup?
Well, basically, one of the lads I play with on a Saturday, Rob Wilmot...
Play football with?
Sorry, thank you for clarifying that, Michael. Rob Wilmot, his little brother, Chris Wilmot, who plays for Oxford City, scored a last-gasp winner to send Oxford City into the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup against Skrill South leaders Eastleigh. City went 2-0 up early doors, Eastleigh came back 2-2, and then Rob's little brother Chris nodded in the winner to take them through to the next round of the FA Cup.
Well, they're struggling in the Skrill North at the moment, they're in the relegation zone, Oxford.
Because they came up from the...
One win and they're away from a potential derby game against Oxford United.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oxford United, there's the fourth qualifying round, then the first round proper, which Oxford United will be in.
Wicked. That so, yeah, glamorous. good luck to my mate's little brother. But
having been to Oxford United's ground, I would love to be at the beer tent I was at when they played Bristol Rovers, and it was a bit tasty.
Oxford City, mental.
Fantastic.
But,
it'd be horrible.
Well, yeah.
But, you've not lived till you've seen a police horse get.
I was going to say, I hope not no police horses get involved in any shenanigans.
Well, yeah. Did you see, I think this was off the Post, I think that posted this, but I loved it, to be honest. It was League of Ireland finished this Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was St Patrick's Athletic won the title for the first time since 1999. And the reason I'm telling you this is because there's a wicked little clip of when they scored the winner to secure their... title, and there's a little 10-year-old lad that runs onto the pitch and starts celebrating around the circle, celebrating like an absolute nutter. And it was goal scorer Anto Flood, because he ran over to that sort of corner, picked him up and lifted him on his shoulders. Oh, and a few of the players, they sort of carried him around for a few minutes, in celebration,
instead of a
kid.
Trophy, just a small boy.
Is
that the option in the League of Ireland?
Literally, but his little face, obviously, he's just run on gone mental. And the goal scorer lifted him up, put onto his shoulders for a minute, then a few more players crowded in, and he got sort of put down. But
he got crossed.
See the little lad get picked up by his hero goal scorer. It was nice scenes.
Whilst we're talking about Irish football, has anyone?
How
has
on
anyone
earth have you got anything else to talk about Irish football?
Well, quite a lot, actually. Yeah. No. Sky Sports News covered it quite a lot yesterday. The Irish FA are coming out and saying that one of the reasons why the football team's doing so badly and that there's not so much
there's
talent
not enough
being
Irish
through.
Players in the Irish league.
No.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
No. It's because the national sport
it's not football.
It's not football, so people play an Irish.
What is the national sport?
They're saying actually that the rugby team and the football team are suffering because a lot of the prospective good young players coming through are opting to play Gaelic football.
Irish rugby team's still pretty fucking good.
Has anyone ever watched a game of hurling?
No.
Fantastic. Not hurling. Hurling's really dangerous.
This is the football podcast, not the hurling podcast.
We do that on Friday.
Naughty boy of the week, Loic Remy.
Frank's his car, didn't he?
Writing off a taxi. Apparently a taxi pulled around the corner and he went straight into it and wrote off this poor geezer's taxi.
And he put a big dent in his R8 as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
if that's,
big dent in R8.
If that's the naughtiest thing Luke Remy's found to do this year, then I think he can cut himself very lucky.
See the... yeah, you're not wrong. Moving on.
Apparently Newcastle are going to sign him as well, aren't they?
Six million.
Plus the 2 million fee, see, which they paid to
the season. What I found quite funny is the old, is the doctor, Spanish doctor, that's basically been saying that Gareth Bale's fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Which is quite funny. About?
And so, if Madrid signed him...
If they signed him knowing... Like, this is what Madrid say, that he's got a small, chronic disc protrusion, apparently, which is extremely common among foot players and doesn't, not in any case, affect them the normal course of their duties, right? I'm sorry.
Otherwise known as a slip disc.
Yeah. Back problems. Speaking from experience, we're having a little discussion at the office today that pretty much me and Gareth Bale have got like the same injury, so we're like basically the same person. But I know
you haven't got a left foot.
I've got great left foot. If basically they reckon Gareth Bale might be in a bit of trouble, and it might be, and if he's got back problems at this young age, then there's a very good chance that it's not going to get better. But there is also the chance with surgery it could fix it, but it could be, like I said, the word, any diagnosis with the word chronic in it is never ideal. But they're saying that the doctor's saying if they knew about it to start with, it was not a good bit of business.
Unless the diagnosis, you've got glaucoma, smoke a load of chronic, in which case, yeah, fantastic.
Great.
But you
great.
Know what I blame? You know what I blame? What's that fucking celebration. That slips
wrong way around. Wrong way around.
Yeah. Fucking idiot. But anyway, another hand gesture.
Right. What I kind of realised, right, and what I thought, only I was taking a shit earlier, right, and I was thinking about, I'll give my Melbourne Heart update, and I've now... You know, I don't understand why I haven't thought of it until now. Why I've not turned into Australian accent for our Australian update.
Because you can't do one.
Yeah, I can. So I decided that I was going to do the entire... Now, well, the thing is, I travelled all around Australia when I stayed there for a year. So my accent is a little bit off.
Do a lot of...
It's all right in the first couple of words, and then it definitely goes.
I've committed to it now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep going.
Can I ask, do a lot of people get the common cold in Australia?
Well, I've got a blocked nose at the moment, so it's and I'm going to cause a lot of offence to a lot of our listeners in Australia, but I've fucking gone with it. I've gone with it. anyway, so, Melbourne Heart. I can't believe I've fucking got to keep doing this because this is, I've really committed now, so fuck it.
Every show he's going to do.
Fuck that. Melbourne Heart had a, basically it was a, that was American.
Hang on a minute. It's actually quite funny watching Dan concentrate on trying to do an Australian accent. This is brilliant.
I am so grateful that my Harry Redknapp impressions are no
longer. I'm actually going to take a video and we're going to upload the video of Dan doing it.
Don't be silly, mate. So, unfortunately, it was a 0-0 draw from the Melbourne Heart and Melbourne Victory.
Take a point in the derby.
However, it was an attendance of 45,000. 2002, which was a derby record.
202. 45,000 in 2002.
That's fucking massive.
Crikey. Bonsai.
It was a 0-0 draw. But apparently, Hearts stick to a solid game plan. Oh, fuck me. A solid game plan. And prevented or stifled victory.
Stifled,
and prevented them from getting behind the heart.
Behind
the hard defence.
Are you now Billy Joe Armstrong, the front man of Green Day?
I'm really trying to just get this over and done with as quickly as possible, but it's not really happening. No, that's American. It's not really happening at all. So, 0-0. Solid result. Killed doubt for the Central Coast game on Saturday. Due to a gash on his eye, and whiplash, apparently. And I don't even know how you get whiplash from playing football. Football.
Can
someone just read that last...
Can I read this in the Australian accent?
Last two lines.
Kills a doubt against champions Central Coast on Saturday due to a gash to his eye and whiplash. Miss for a doubt, he doesn't return from international duty until Friday.
See, that's an Australian upset.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Poms.
No wackers.
Learn to Australian better.
I'm fucking sweating. Don't you know how much effort that was to try and do that? And it really seemed like a good idea at the time. It turns out.
I'm sure very appreciated.
We'll get you a can of Foster's, one of them little apps with the hawks on.
Thanks,
it.
Mate.
We're at home.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that was hard work.
So England are going to win tonight.
Anyway, sorry, yeah.
England are going to win. Let's finish on a positive. Because you're...
I don't know.
That
was pretty positive. That's a highlight. I was going to...
Can I just say, Adelaide United are top of the table at the moment as they had a convincing 3-1 win against Perth Glory. Just behind them is Sydney FC. They were the Friday night game, Friday night game, it's Friday day here. Del Piero instrumental in scoring one and setting the other one up, still got it. Hart, I like the fact that Melbourne Hart, on purely on alphabetical order, are sat above victory.
Come on.
Which is awesome. Game against Central Coast, the champions from last year on Saturday. Big game, Kula doubt, Misford not back until Friday. So it's a big game, but apparently there was a lot said about the tactics of Hart and how they stifled out victory well, and it's some positive signs. It's going to take a while for the team to gel.
I didn't get a word of that. I can't understand his accent. I don't know what he's saying. But bloody anyway, bombs. Yes, finish on a positive, because England are going to win tonight. Hopefully, we're going to be on our way to the World Cup. We'll be back next week with the 150th show. I won't be here, but I'm sure there will be one in some form. I'm sure the world will survive without me.
I'm going to do the whole show in an Australian accent.
There you go, that's probably it. What I was going to ask you...
I'm not.
Please make sure you send us, tweet us, Facebook us, email us, any of your favourite moments from the last 150th show. The more obscure, the better. And if you send them, I'll try and listen back and find them. We won't put them in the show, but at least we'll be able to corroborate where they actually happened.
Well, if you're going to the game tonight, if you're actually going to Wembley, make some noise for England.
And let us know how you get on. There's 20,000 bloody
posts. Are you going to get this up before the game this afternoon?
We will if you can send it to me, Dan.
I will.
Normal score, banter at footballpodcast.co.uk, www.footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, and follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. Come on, England. Good luck tonight.
Boys.
Let's go.
You're the boys.